Okay. Good morning to all of you. Alright, sorry you have to see my face again. I just want to thank Pastor Tony for giving this pulpit to me for today. And if you have a Bible, kindly turn with me to the Psalms in the Bible. Only one versicolo sa sininga aga. Psalms 9, verse 10. And I would like to read to you from the New King James Version. Psalms chapter 9, verse 10. And it says here, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Father, this morning I want to commit the entire service to your hand, asking the Holy Spirit to cover me by the blood of Jesus and quicken the word of God to us, encouraging us, motivating us, and empowering us, and above all, enlightening our eyes to know you personally through your name. And in Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. Names carry meaning. A name tells you something about a person's identity, nature, or authority. But names in the Bible reveals character, not just identity. To know God's name means to experience His nature personally. Our key text, Psalms 9, there, David declares that trust is born out of revelation. He says, "They that know your name will put their trust in you." You cannot trust what you do not know. You can only rest when you know who holds your life. To know God's name is not just intellectual. It is relational. It is to know who He has revealed Himself to be and to rely on that revelation in the dark times of our life. And one of the most ancient ways God revealed Himself was through the names beginning with these two letters, L. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I would like to deepen your trust in God by sharing about the power of the L God. And the outline of my sermon will be as follows. First, I will give you the meaning of L. Secondly, I will share how to deepen our trust in the L God. Last but not last, the fullness of the L God. Let's look at our first point, the meaning of L. L refers to God. G-O-D. In the longer word, Dios. When you open the Bible in the Old Testament time, and each time when you see these three letters, God, the Hebrew word is El. And El points to God the Father, though it can also refer to God's divine nature more broadly. What is the meaning of El? The Hebrew word is on our screen. The Hebrew word El simply means God, Dios, or Mighty One, or the Strong One. And it is one of the most ancient names for God in the Bible, used even before Israel received the covenant name Yahweh, or Jehovah. So El is released or revealed to the people way before God gave His own personal name Yahweh to the nation of Israel. El emphasizes God's strength, power, and supremacy, the one who is above all other so-called gods. Now, let's look at El in the Bible. It is appearing, or rather it appears, in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, the Bible said God created the heavens and the earth. In the Hebrew Bible, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim here in Genesis 1:1 is the plural form of El, expressing the fullness of the majesty of God. It's referring to the Holy Trinity. The three God in the Godhead all came together to create heaven and the earth. And then again, second time, it appears Genesis 17:1. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. And this is God revealing Himself personally to Abraham. So when the Bible uses El, whether alone or in compound name like El Shaddai, it is speaking of the true supreme God, the same one Jesus called Father. So you notice that in the Old Testament, the main Godhead or the main God that is running the entire show is God the Father. And in the four Gospels, the main God that's running the show is Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, the main God that's running the show is the Holy Spirit. So when you see God in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is El. What is the difference between El and Jehovah or Yahweh? Let's look at it clearly and simply. As I said again and again, El simply means God, Dios, mighty one or strong one. It emphasizes God's strength and divine might. El speaks of who God is by nature. Who is He? The supreme, mighty one over all creation. On the other hand, Jehovah, from the word, the Hebrew word there on the screen, Yahweh, alright, is God's personal covenant name revealed to Moses. I am who I am. Now, when Moses was sent by God in Exodus chapter 3 to go back to Israel and to declare to them that God would deliver them from their pharaohs, from their taskmaster, Moses was hesitant. He said, God, if you send me back and they ask me, who are you? What am I going to say? God said, tell them, I am who I am. Now, this seems like an unfinished name. I am what? I am who I am, or I am that I am. So what does I am who I am mean? Now, in the Gateway to Life, Lesson 1, Part 1, the first question is about this. Who is God? I am that I am. What does that mean? It means whatever you have need of, you just fill in the name of your need, and then you ask God. That's how personal the name Yahweh is. Yahweh means I am that I am. Means whatever you have need of, just fill in the need, your personal need, and call upon the name of God and your Father God through Yahweh. The revelation of Yahweh will fulfill His covenantal promise to you. If you read the Bible in the Old Testament and you see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, all in capital, it is the Yahweh. It is the Hebrew word meaning Yahweh. God's personal covenant name. Yahweh means the self-existent one. God who was and is and always will be. Meaning to say, God is the ever-present one. When God said, I am that I am, God never said, I am that I was or I am that I will be. No. God said, I am that I am. So when this word I am, it means the ever-present one. You turn the time backward 100 years, God is still I am. You forward time to 100 years later, God is still I am. And Revelation says that God is the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last, the beginning and the ending. There is not a time when God is not present. So Yahweh is trying to tell you that this I am is the everlasting one, your beginning, your ending. The first and the last. That's the meaning of the word Yahweh. Yahweh also expresses God's faithful personal and relational nature. It is the name God always uses when He enters covenant with His people, when He wants to make a promise with His people to show that He's not only a powerful, mighty El, but also a very present, faithful, and a near God. Whatever you have need of, I am, will meet the very need. You fill in the blank. The name Yahweh, I am who I am, or I am that I am, is a blank check signed by your rich Heavenly Father asking you to fill in whatever you have need of. That's how personal God wants to be with you. So I can summarize. The difference between El and Jehovah is this. El shows God's greatness. He's the Almighty One. Jehovah, Yahweh, shows God's nearness. He is the I Am who walks with His people. In summary, I can say El reveals God's power, while Jehovah reveals God's tagipusoon. Both names describe the same God, just from different angles. One, the name El is majestic. One, Jehovah, the name means intimate. What is the application? God is both El, the strong, sovereign King. God is also Jehovah, the loving Father, who binds Himself to His children in covenant love. He's not only powerful, represented by El, to create the world, but personal enough, represented by Yahweh, to dwell in your heart and to fulfill whatever you have need of. Remember, a blank check. I am that I am. Next, how to deepen our trust in God. Number one, know His name. Revelation builds relationship. Our key text is those who know your name. The Hebrew word for know is yada, and it means intimate, experiential knowledge. Psalms 9 is written by David. And David is not talking about head knowledge, but heart revelation. Example, you can know a king by title, but only intimacy reveals the heart of the king. To know God's name is to have encountered His character. To trust God is to respond to the encounter with surrender. And this is the Christocentric link. Jesus is the full revelation of every name of God. To know Jesus is to know the Father's heart. In the Old Testament, God progressively revealed Himself through names, each beginning with El. Genesis 1:1 begins not with Yahweh. Genesis 1:1, the very first versicolo of a Biblia, begins with the name El. And each El name is a facet of who Christ is. And every revelation invites a spiritual application, invites an experience of the character of God personally. To know His El names is to understand His power, protection, and promise. This morning, I want to take my time to teach you the 20 El names of God, grouped by His nature and power. I know that in ETAP, we have a 3-month course on the names of God, but it focuses only on Yahweh Jehovah. You only study 7 names in this course, the SCG Naton. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sikenu. That is Yahweh. But our church has not taught any of you here on the El names of God. So this morning, bear with me. I will be teaching you the 20 El names. Okay, its meaning, its revelation, and its application to our lives today. And when you know the meaning of each El names of God, you will be able to trust in Him more. Alright? Are you ready? Now, I said 20 names, grouped into 2 categories, the nature of God and the power of God. But these 20 names are not exhaustive. There are more than 20 El names mentioned in Biblia Naton. But I have no time to share with you everything, so I only pick, alright, the 20 most important El names that I feel you will need them in your journey as a Christian. So let's look at the first category, alright, the El names reveal. Okay, the El names of God revealing the nature of God. The El names revealing who God is in His being. The very first name of El is El. The meaning means the mighty God. And it's taken from Genesis 33:20, when Jacob erected an altar after he arrived at Shechem, after running away from his father-in-law, and he called that altar El Elohi Israel, means God, the God of Israel. What is the revelation and the application of this name El? It means this. When you know the name El, representing the mighty God, then you will know that the God that you are serving is strong above all others. And as an application, you as a Christian should stop depending on human power and learn to stand in His might. The lesson is, He is strong when you are weak. The second name, El Berith, the God of the Covenant. El Berith means the God of the Covenant. I encourage you to take a picture of all this chart. And in your Devo, when you pray, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Mention all these 20 names. Or if you don't want, whatever your need is, you find which is the relevant name of God and call upon that El name of your mighty God. Okay, El Berith, the God of the Covenant. And this is taken from Judges chapter 9, 46. During the time of Abimelech, when he was the judge, the people of Shechem worshipped God as El Berith. And what is the revelation of El Berith is this: God's promises cannot be broken. As the God of the Covenant, it means His promesa, sa atong tanan, cannot be broken. Because God is unwavering, faithful, binding Himself to us in everlasting love and keeping every promise fulfilled in Christ. All the promises of God the Father find its amen in His Son, Jesus Christ. And what is the lesson and application to you and me concerning El Berith is this: God keeps His word. Even when you fail, even when you falter, even when you break the promise, God is still faithful. Next, the third El name, El Elyon. I just showed you the song. It means the Most High God. And it's taken from Genesis 14, when Melchizedek calls God El Elyon. What's that? Possessor of heaven and earth. The revelation and application is this: God is exalted above every power. None can rival Him. The lesson that the application for you and me concerning El Elyon is you have to submit and rest under His rule. Submit and rest under His sovereignty, His control. And the lesson here for El Elyon is this: worship lifts your eyes higher than your trouble. When you worship El Elyon, it shifts your focus on your trouble. Alright, look up and see that there is a greater God, a higher God. That's why the name is Most High. A higher God who is still in control of your life, even when everything unravels. Next, another El name, El Olam. The meaning is the everlasting God. And this is taken from Genesis 21, when Abraham calls on the name of El Olam after he reconciled with Abimelech and Phicol over a dispute about a well in Beersheba. And El Olam, meaning the everlasting God, points us to the nature of God. The nature of God never changes. He transcends time. And it points to God's faithfulness that transcends generation. As I said just now, you go back 100 years, God is still I am. You forward 100 years later, God is still I am. I am what? I am faithful. I am everlasting. So today, as application, you need to live with eternity in view and not fear the moment of your life when that moment of your life is la'in indek ma'ayo. And what is the lesson? The promises of God outlast your problem and my problem. Hallelujah. Some of you're going through trials and you're suffering. My encouragement to you, go and read the Word of God. Get a promise. And stand on the promise. Believe the promise. And let the promise of God outlast your suffering. Because when you have the promise of God, you will have patuo. And when you have patuo, your patuo will outlast your trial and your suffering. Next, a very popular name, the El name that we all know, El Shaddai. It means God Almighty, the all-sufficient one. And it's taken from Abraham, taken from Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, still wala bata niya. And the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. The name El Shaddai means God nourishes, sustains, and satisfies every need. And God is more than enough for every need. The need can be physical need, emotional, and spiritual. The application is, as Christian, depend on El Shaddai. Rest and trust in His sufficiency. Where you end, He begins. Where Abraham ends, in His ability to bear a child, God begins to perform the miracle by letting her wife conceive Isaac. El Shaddai. Next, Elamet is the God of truth. The God of Kamoto, The God of truth, Kamato Oran. The God of truth. And this is taken from Psalms 31 verse 5. A psalm written by David during a time of distress and danger. And that's where he called out to God. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. When David declared God, Dios, to be Elamet, the God of truth. What does it mean? It means God, you're trustworthy and true. Your word and character are completely trustworthy. And as an application to our life, is this build your life on His unshakable truth, which is the pulong sang Diyos. And if there are lies in your life right now, let every lie in you bow down to His truth. There are many of you coming to the deep level healing where many lies that remain hidden in the dark corners of your past and even present. I pray that my office will be anointed by God, that when you come and meet us for the deep level healing ministry, every lie in you will bow to His truth. And when the truth of God reigns, it means the light of Christ will come in to displace the darkness of lies that you have been harboring or hiding in. God is going to expose in this church many, many lies. You've been deceiving the church, deceiving yourself, and deceiving God. And I encourage you to come for the deep level healing, because you will be coming under the umbrella of confidentiality, where when you confess your sin, we will not subject you to church discipline. I want to say this to you, and I do not know whether you will be offended, but even if you are offended, I don't care, because I want to declare what God has revealed to me, the element. Last month, something happened to my house. In the middle of the night, I heard a lot of commotion in my ceiling. There were two cats. Somehow or another, they managed to break into the ceiling of my house. And what happened was that in the middle of the night, there was a great commotion, a big bang. And I ran out of my room and I saw the whole ceiling in my cellar collapsed, and all the wires in the ceiling also fell, and one of the white cats ran out. I saw the cat outside. I took the stick and I chased it. It ran to my terrace. It tried to run or jumped across the fencing to outside. Somehow or another, he got stuck. He couldn't jump. He couldn't come down. I have a stick, so I threatened it to jump out, but it couldn't. Pastor Tony came and I asked him, do you want me to release the Rottweilers? Because my Rottweilers has a spirit of anger, bitterness, and hatred against cats. They have already killed two fat cats in my house. And I know that if I release three of them, I have to say bye-bye to that cat. But then, out of mercy, Pastor Tony told me, no lah, just let him go. So I tapped the wall again and again, and the cat was struggling, and in the end, it just jumped out of my house. Thank God the owner stepped in. The owner paid a lot to repair the ceiling, and he was very upset with using wood. He used Hardiflex for the ceiling and all the frames. He didn't want to use wood anymore. He changed everything to metal. I've been teaching y'all on prophetic pictures, word pictures. And just today in my SCG, I told you, sometimes when you want to speak blessing, okay, into your future with a special future, you use, you know, pictures of things that God show you from the daily lives. And the whole incident, I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, I've been teaching you to be sensitive prophetically. I bow down in my prayer devo and ask God. That was last month. God, what is the meaning of this incident? I think I did share with you again and again that in Quezon, we were not sensitive because we were not prophetically activated part. And therefore, we never take the warning of God seriously. But after that failure, I told God, I want to be activated prophetically and very sensitive. Pastor Tony was in the office with me. And he stood up from his chair and he tripped over something and he fell very badly. And the way he fell was very, very unflattering position. And at the time when he was down the floor, you know, my right-hand man was knocking on the door and wanted to come in, and Pastor Tony signaled me to push the door closed. Little did we know that was a prophetic warning that this very guy will cause the downfall of Pastor Tony. We didn't get the message. But this time, this cat, I sat down and I asked, God, what is the meaning of this collapse of the ceiling? And this is what God revealed to me. There are two groups of people, because there are two cats, a male and a female. And they are all white. I thank God that this time the cat that came in are white. And they fell right through. Meaning to say, there is a couple in this church. You look very holy. You look very righteous. But you lie to yourself about your spirituality. Because you are doing something under the authority of Pastor Tony and me in stealth. S-T-E-A-L-T-H. You're doing something secretly that tried to harm our authority. And what happens? You fell through. You collapsed. Your plan did not go through because you fell and you were exposed. Got it? This is the first group of people. So I do not know who you are. The second one, God is trying to tell me, there are many members of your church, girls and guys, under the nose of your authority represented by the ceiling, who are doing things that is not of the truth and the righteousness of God. They are doing things in darkness, in stealth, in secrecy. But again, they'll be exposed. And I have the authority to kill it or by mercy to let it go. So when I got the message, I prayed. And immediately, 1 month later, through the deep level healing, many of you, I thank you for trusting this ministry. You came and exposed all the lies that you have towards the church, towards God, towards yourself, towards your life. And you also exposed the unrighteous sin that you've been living in because you refuse to operate under our authority in stealth, in secretness. Or in secrecy, the God of truth. The God of truth. You must build your life on truth, not on lies. And today, if there is still a lie in you, you're lying to us, you show to us a false facade of your life, you show yourself as spiritual like the two cats, but no, behind our back, you're doing something in secret that is wrong. Let every lie in you bow to the truth of Jesus Christ. And that is element. Next, El Kadosh, the Holy God. And this is found in Isaiah 5:16, where Isaiah called God El Kadosh during Judah's moral decline to show that while human pride would be humbled, the Lord would be exalted and revealed as holy through His righteous judgment on the nation. God, the Holy One, El Kadosh, is sanctified in righteousness. El Kadosh means the nature of God is pure and set apart. And we, in application, means we have to reverence Him with purity and holiness in thought and action. And holiness is nearness to the Holy One. Next, El Roi, the God who sees me. And that is found in Genesis 16, where it records Hagar's encounter with God in the wilderness, where after fleeing Sarah's harsh treatment, she recognized Him as El Roi, the God who sees me, even though I'm a maid, even though I'm a helper lung, realizing that God watched over and cares for the afflicted. El Roi reveals to us that our God sees our pain, even no one else does. And God provides in compassion. And as an application, you are never invisible or forgotten. Brothers and sisters, what are you going through that you've been lied about? That God doesn't see you? That God doesn't care about your pain? That God doesn't feel with you? No, it's not true. We have an El Roi that sees our pain. You are never invisible. God sees you in the wilderness of your testing and calls you by name. God calls Hagar, Hagar, even though He's only a helper, a maid. Next, El Rakom, the compassionate, the merciful God. Deuteronomy 4:31, where Moses spoke to Israel on the plains of Moab, reminding them that even if they turn away, God's covenant mercy would remain. Look at the countless of times when God helped them. They will be happy for a while and then they will turn against God. But God is always the El Rakom. Always moving, always moved, okay, by the failures. Moved by the weaknesses of His people, and He's very ready to forgive, heal, and restore through the mercy of His Son, Jesus Christ. In the book of Deuteronomy, God tells the children of Israel, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. I'm compassionate. I will not forsake you, even though countless of times you keep failing me." And the lesson is this, brothers and sisters, receive kalu'i, and then reflect the kalu'i to others. Next, El Shalom means the gracious God. And this is found in Jonah 4:2, where Jonah expressed his anger when God spared the city of Nineveh, highlighting God's gracious, compassionate nature that forgives even those whom Jonah wanted judged. Jonah told God, "God, I knew you are a gracious God." The Hebrew word there is El Shalom, meaning to say God's grace reaches where you least deserve it. And for us today, be humble and grateful. Extend grace to others. And that's what deep level healing is doing. We are extending a lot of grace and mercy to you. Grace will rewrite your story. Next, El Israel means God of Israel. Genesis 33:20. And that is written by Jacob after he built an altar at Shechem, after his reconciliation with Esau, marking a moment and covenant acknowledgement to God for protection and restored relationship with his brother. He named that altar El Elohi Israel, God, the God of Israel. What is the lesson? God identifies with His people by name. You are His covenant children. You are known, named, and claimed by God. So all these names, I think there are 11 of them, they tell us who God is in His essence: unchanging, holy, faithful, and powerful. The El God, the nature, is all listed in these 11 names. Next, the power of God, second category, the El name, in the category of the power of God, what He does for His people. All right, this now is talking about the Gahom, Gaina, the Grupo is talking about the nature, the character, but now it's the Gahom, what He does for His people. The first one is El Gibor, means the mighty warrior. And here in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah announced the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will bring divine government, peace, and everlasting salvation as the mighty God, El Gibor. And this is always the song we sing during Christmas in our Christmas carol. What's the revelation and application? Is this God fights for His people and never loses a battle. The lesson is, and application is, be courageous, enduring, and confident in His victory. The battle belongs to the Lord, not yours. What battle are you fighting today? Are you fighting against injustice? Don't use your own strength to fight. Ask El Gibor to come in, to take this battle and fight for you. Next, LDO is the God of knowledge. And this name is taken from 1 Samuel where Hannah wrote in a song of thanksgiving. And in the one of the lyrics of the song that she wrote is a word to the arrogant Penina, the first wife of Hannah's husband after the birth of Samuel. And in that song, Hannah is telling this arrogant Penina not to let arrogance come from her mouth, because the Lord is a God of knowledge. Means God is LDO. Means God knows all things. God knows your motive. God knows your thoughts. And therefore, Hannah is trying to tell Penina, you better walk in truth and humility. Because you have a very malicious intent against me when I was barren. You mock me. You bully me. Nothing is hidden from Him because our God is LDO. He knows all things. He's a God of knowledge. And I want to tell you, if you want knowledge, you want wisdom. Wisdom begins with reverence for the all-knowing one. He's the all-knowing one. He's the God of wisdom. You reverence the wisdom of God. Next, El Yeshuati means the God of my salvation. And it's found in Isaiah 12:2, where Isaiah wrote a song during Judah's looming time of judgment to trust in the salvation of the Lord. Meaning to say, even though judgment is coming in, but still, behold, God is my salvation. God is my El Yeshuati. Meaning to say, God rescues, God redeems, God alone saves body, our soul and spirit. And our job is to depend on His grace and deliverance and not human effort. Your Savior is your strength and your song. Next, Elkanah, the jealous one. And this is taken in Exodus, where Moses, after giving the Ten Commandments, warned Israel that God's judgment will come against them if they have idolatry and become unfaithful to the Lord. And Moses said, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Meaning to say, the jealousy of God guards our heart from idolatry. The jealousy of God is not protective. Sorry, the jealousy of God is protective, not possessive. God calls us for exclusive love and purity. He will not share our heart with a lesser love. How about El Sali, God my rock? It's taken from Psalms 42:9, and it's written by one of the sons of Korah, where he was going through some oppression and inner turmoil. And there he said, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Meaning to say, our God is our stability and foundation in every storm. And He is teaching us, hide yourself in the safety of His strength. Next, Elkai means the living God. And it's written by Joshua. Before crossing the river, he challenged the people, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. Moses died, but our God did not die with Moses. Hereby today, you shall know the living God is among you. The word living God, Elkai. Meaning to say, God is not distant. He's still alive and active today. He's able to open up the river Jordan. And today, God is inviting you and me into a living relationship with a living God. We are not serving a dead Jesus. And the living God today wants to breathe His life into your spirit man. Next, Elzor. Or El Zuri. This is another variant of El Sali. It is also talking about God, my rock. And it's taken from the Songs of David, written in 2 Samuel 22:47, pointing to God being our unchanging foundation. And it's exhorting us today If you have an Elzori in your life, you have to stand firm on the rock that never crumbles. And then El Bethel, the God of the house of God, or the God of the house of bread, because Bethel means the house of bread. And it's taken from Genesis 35:7, where Jacob built an altar at Bethel after returning from Padan Aram and making a moment of covenant renewal and worship to God for his guidance and protection. He met God before he went to Laban, and he named that place Bethel. Now he brought El in. You're El Bethel. You are the God of this house of bread. In other words, God meets us where heaven touches earth. The first time Jacob encounters God was he was afraid. He was running away from Esau. And he was sleeping, and then he woke up. He saw the ladder, and the angel were coming up and down, meaning to say, heaven meets earth. And when heaven meets earth, means the God that owns this battle will be the one to meet you. When we personally come to the house of God, it's not the house of God that will bless you, but rather it is the God of the house of bread whom you shall encounter, and that is from where you shall be transformed, because there is an El battle. Lastly, El Hakavod, the God of glory. It's written by Asaph from Psalms 29. And he is celebrating the majesty of God's voice in nature, emphasizing that the Lord's powerful, thunderous voice reveals his glory and authority over creation. This is what he says in Psalms 29. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory, El Hakavod, thunders. In other words, God's presence fills the heavens and the earth. And as an application, we should live as vessels who reflect His presence, letting His glory shine through our lives rather than seeking our own. You just witnessed Typhoon Tino. You saw the raging water gush. You saw the thunder. You saw the wind. You saw the lightning. What does that reveal to you? His glory and authority over creation. And these names in this second category reveal how God acts in power. He fights, defends, redeems, sustains, and sanctifies His people. How to deepen your trust in the Lord? Know these 20 names, the L names of God. Number two, trust His name. Revelation produces rest. The Bible says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Knowing produces trusting. Don't try to trust more. Rather, know Him deeper. Why? Because revelation, when you know Him deeper, it fuels patuo. And patuo is not a leap into the dark, but a rest upon the known character of God revealed through the L names in the Bible. What is the Christocentric link? Is this? Jesus embodies the trustworthy nature of God. On the cross, He revealed El Berith, the covenant-keeping God, and El Gibor, the mighty God who fights for us. And because of Christ's faithfulness, we can fully rest in Him. Trust replaces striving. When you know El Shaddai, the God Almighty, you stop proving your worth. When you know El Roi, the all-seeing God, you stop fearing invisibility. When you know El Berith, the covenant-keeping God, you stop fearing failure, because even though you fail, He remains faithful. Each El name reveals part of His name that builds trust. How? When you know El Shaddai, you trust His provision. When you know El Roi, you trust He sees your pain. You're not alone. When you know El Olam, the everlasting God, you trust His faithfulness across generations. When you know El Gibor, the mighty warrior, you trust His power to defend you when you are attacked by the devil. When you know El Rakom, the gracious one, You trust His mercy after failure. Hallelujah. How to deepen your trust? Number three, seek His face. Revelation secures presence. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. The promise of God here is presence. What kind of presence? His presence. He never abandons those who seek Him. Seeking God is not searching for what is missing. God is not missing. Ari Pasha. Seeking God is drawing near to the one who is already near. And these are the lessons we can learn from this point. Trust flows from the presence of God. And presence flows from your pursuit to know Him personally by studying the Bible. When you continually seek Him, you'll never be forsaken. You'll find His name proven true in every season. And even if it feels silent, His character, the L names, or the 20 names of God is constant. His name guarantees His presence. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make the L name your refuge, because every L name is a room of safety. Enter through Jesus Christ. My last point, Christ-centric revelation. Jesus, the fullness of the L God. Every L name in the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is the living embodiment of all these names. Colossians 1 tells us, God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Let's see how El God reveals Himself fully in Jesus. The word El, God Almighty One. Jesus embodies the fullness of God's nature, power, and covenant promises in His body. El Elyon, Most High. Jesus is exalted above every name. El Shaddai, Jesus says in Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. El Olam, the everlasting one, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, El Gibor, the mighty God. Isaiah 9:6 directly names the Messiah. El Gibor, Jesus is the mighty God. El Roi, the God who sees. Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree, and today He still sees you in your pain, in your oppression, in your harsh treatment from the world and from people around you. El Yeshuati, God of salvation. His name, Yeshua, means the Lord is salvation. Jesus, the Hebrew name is Yeshua. The Lord is Kaluwasan. El Berit, the God of covenant. Jesus mediates and secures the new covenant through His blood. That today, because of the blood, we can enter into the throne room of the Father God freely without having to do any penance. El Sali, the God, my rock. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, the rock on which we stand. El Dio, the God of knowledge. Oh, Jesus is the personified wisdom of Proverbs 8. All wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding dwell fully in Jesus Christ. El Emet, the God of truth. John says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. El Kana, the jealous God. Jesus jealously loves His bride, the church, calling us to exclusively love Him with no idols and rival gods. El Kai, the living God. Jesus says and declares, I am the resurrection and the life. El Zor, God my rock. Jesus is our stability, our unshakable foundation. El Rakom, the compassionate one. Jesus was moved with compassion to heal, forgive, and restore humanity. Look at the way He treated the woman caught in adultery. How about El Shalom? Jesus is always full of grace and truth, extending God's undeserved favors to all, even to you and me who are sinners. Gihapun. How about El Israel, the God of Israel? Jesus unites God's chosen people, the Jews, and all nations into one redeemed family through His blood. How about El Hakadosh, the Holy One? Jesus is perfectly holy, sinless. How about El Bala, the God of the house of God? Jesus is the true dwelling place of God. For in Him, God's presence is no longer confined to a simbahan, a place, a lugar. But the presence of God is confined and revealed in a person, not a place. Last but not least, El Hakavod. Jesus is the manifestation of God's glory in human form, revealing the radiant presence and the character of the Father to the world. Christ is the face of every El name. When you see Jesus, you see the El God made visible. John 14:9, Jesus said, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Let's go back to the key text again. And those who know your name will put your trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So in the light of Christ, this key text means to know his name points you to know Jesus. To trust in him points you to rest in Jesus' finished work. To seek him points you to walk in daily dependence on his Holy Spirit. How to apply this Christocentric truth to our life? How to live as those who know his name? Number one, call on his name daily. Speak his L names in prayer. Do you know in my Devo, my iPhone, in my notes, I already memorized all the names of Jehovah. I don't need to write down. But this L name, as I said, it was never taught in this church. And when I did a research in my Devo, I was very blessed. That's why I preached this message to you. I took a picture of all my research and saved it in my notes. And every time when I pray, I learn to call on his name, speaking the L names in prayer. Example, if you are in need today, in your prayer, you say, God, use the name. When you know your name, when you know the name of God, you will trust in him deeper. So if you are in need today, you call. You call out the name of God, the L name, El Shaddai. Be my sufficiency today. You are the God of many breasts. You are more than enough. Number two, not only call in his name, trust his covenant nature. Our key text tells us he never forsakes those who seek him. And when God reveals a name, he also offers a promise. And number three, rest in the finished work of Jesus. The names of God are not just promised to claim. They are persons fulfilled in Christ. Every name leads you back to Jesus, the I Am. Fill in the blanks with whatever your needs are. It's a blank check. Number four, witness his faithfulness. As you know his name, you will reflect his character to others. You become living evidence that El Emuna, the faithful God, still reigns. I did not give you the meaning of the word El Emuna. As I told you, the 20 names are not exhaustive. There are others. I want to give you the analogy concerning Christ being the face and the fulfillment of every L name. I want to use the analogy of the 20 strings of a harp. I want you today to imagine a harp, H-A-R-P, with 20 strings. And each string produces a different note. Low, high, soft, bow. But when the harpies play the harp together, they create one harmonious melody. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Each L name revealed in the Bible is like one of those strings. El Elyon, the Most High, represent the high note of His Majesty. El Shaddai, the Almighty God, represents the deep tone of His sufficiency. El Olam, the Everlasting One, the endless rhythm of His eternity. El Bethel, the God of the House of Bread, represents the resonance of his presence. And El Hakavod, the God of glory, is the crescendo of his glory. And the master harpist Jesus plays them all in perfect harmony. And what is the lesson? When you know the L names of God, you don't just learn theology. You will begin to hear the symphony of God's character played through Jesus Christ. Are you there with me today? In conclusion, do you know your God? Do you know the different facets of God's nature and character? Do you know the different facets of God's power? Because when you know, then he becomes more personal to you. You can use El and to become your Jehovah, I am that I am, and fill in the blank check with a particular name relevant to whatever needs you need of him. Let me conclude with this story. The desert traveler and the 20 wells. A weary traveler once crossed a vast desert, desperate for water. Along the way, he found 20 wells, each springing up just when he thought he could go no further. At the first well, he found water that was strong and mighty. That was El Gibor, the mighty warrior. At the next Bubon, water overflowed with supply. That was El Shaddai. The third well, the third Bubon, ikan taklonga Bubon bela, he saw the water coming down from a high mountain spring. That's El Elyon, the Most High. The fourth Bubon, he saw a Bubon that reflected the Bitu'on, El Roi, the God who sees. The fifth well, he heard a gentle voice, El Battle, the God of the house of Israel. Finally, a well that shone with glory, El Hakavod, the God of glory. At the end of the journey, the traveler realized all 20 wells were connected to one underground source, one living river flowing beneath the desert. And he whispered in awe, "It is all one river. It's all one God." What is the lesson? Is this. Each El name is a different Bubon, but all flow from the same living water, Jesus Christ, the fullness of God's revelation. Revelation says, "The Lamb in the midst of the throne shall lead them to the living fountains of water." As I said again and again, Jesus is the revelation of every divine name of El. The invisible El Elyon, made visible in human form. Every El meets us in Emmanuel, God with us. Every El name, the 20 of them that I just shared with you, whether it's El Shaddai, El Roi, finds its heartbeat in Jesus Christ. And when you know His name, you will learn to trust Him. And when you trust Him, you will never be forsaken. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Thank you, Lord. Lord El Elyon, Lord Most High and Everlasting God, this morning we thank you for revealing your names that show who you are. You are mighty, holy, faithful, all-sufficient and everlasting. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing yourself in all these names, our El Gibor, our mighty Savior. And we declare today that we will trust you because we know your name. And when we are weak today, God, we ask you to be our El Shaddai. When we are fearful, we ask you to be our El Gibor. When we feel unseen, we ask you to be our El Roi. And when we are weary, we ask you to be our El Olam. Let our lives testify that those who know your name will never be forsaken. I want all of you to stand.